of food and drinks, and a Fortune 100 style conference room can eliminate the words traveling gets old from your vocabulary. Come on in for a single visit or receive great discounts on personalized memberships. Your travel lounge awaits.
Oh, hey, this is Tom from Salt and Smoke. Has Pauly Shore ever eaten at your restaurant?
No.
No.
Ew.
No. Oh, God, no. No.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, has he ever eaten at your restaurant twice?
Excuse me.
It's so embarrassing. Salt and Smoke. Now, featuring the Hamptons.
Hi, this is Tim Woodburn. My firm, Gateway Investigations, has been helping citizens, law firms, and insurance companies throughout the state for the last 10 years. We investigate everything from cheating spouses to lying employees who are faking injuries. We can help you investigate somebody who's suing you or maybe somebody you want to sue. We can help you find missing relatives or long-lost friends. When you need to know the truth, call Gateway Investigations, 238-1367. That's 238-1367. Visit us online at gatewaypi.net or email me, tim@gatewaypi.net.
The PGA Championships are here in St. Louis August 10th through the 12th. 590 The Fan and Michelob Ultra have teamed up for the official PGA Watch Party. All day, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, August 10th through the 12th, from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Come out and enjoy the tournament on a 20-foot TV screen while enjoying all of your favorite Budweiser and Michelob Ultra products.
Not to mention all the great food that will be available.
Plus, on Friday, August 10th, all of your favorite 590 The Fan shows will be broadcasting live. Don't miss it.
This is Cam Jansen, and I'm telling you, the warm weather is here. You know what that means? You're probably going to have to take your shirt off at some point. Don't be that guy that has that large t-shirt that jumps in the pool with it. Don't be that guy. Sometimes it's tough getting up and forcing yourself to work out, and I'm telling you, if you don't have that drive anymore, you got to go get checked out at LowTUSA.com. They got two places. They got a place in Chesterfield and in South County. All you got to do is go in and get your blood work done. Go get your blood work done by board-certified physicians. You'll get results that same day. And I tell you this, you might be suffering from low testosterone. If that's the case, you will feel a huge difference. You'll have that drive again. All you got to do is walk in one of the two locations, either South County or Chesterfield. Get your blood work done. It is covered by insurance. This is not a rich man's game. This is for the working man. I am telling you, LowTUSA.com. It's a game changer. And I'll tell you this, it's a relationship changer too.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law, who is right, who is wrong, who is for and who's against the law? Well, you see, I didn't really mean you.
I keep thinking when Dan, you know, hears how perfectly I harmonize, I'll get invited to sing with them. Satan 5.
You can come in and sing with us anytime. Seventh Planet Band.
I know that. And you know that I won't do it because I have stage fright.
I know.
I'm just talking. It's Thursday, folks. And once again, it's time to help people who have, they don't know what to do, where to turn legally. We have a guy who will turn you in the right direction. His name is Scott Sherman. And he's brought to you by Peroni's Pizza. This town has probably, what do you think, how many different pizza? 300?
Oh my God.
500?
Yeah.
Easily. I think more than most cities. St. Louis, a lot of pizzas. Some of them are good, some of them aren't good. Some of them are horrible. And some of them are really good, and Peroni's is really good. You'll see. Now, pizza's a subjective thing. I know people that think that one particular pizza's great, and somebody else thinks that same pizza's not that good. I don't hear any complaints about Peroni's. And it's not just pizza. Everything they make is fresh. It's good. You'll just have to see for yourself. And a good way to do that is the buffet. Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., they have an all-you-can-eat buffet at both Peroni's locations, at St. Peter's and then Florissant. That's 11 to 2. And on Friday, which is tomorrow, it includes their famous chicken wings. I never ate a chicken wing until I was in my 30s. I don't know why. I didn't want a wing. Now, if it's the right wing, I like it. Peroni's has the right wing and the right other stuff, too. Most choli, whatever. Good stuff. Peroni's. P-I-R-R-O-N-E-S. Bronie'sPizza.com. Would you please give it up for Scott Sherman?
Frank, thank you.
Good to see you, Scott.
It's great to see you, sir.
Before we get down to business, and we're already getting calls, let me give the numbers again. And my advice to you folks is if you can find a way to remember the number, when somebody ends a conversation, that means the line is open, so jump right in there. And if one is busy, do the other one and keep going back and forth. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-TALK, which is 855-282-8255. Now, before we get started, I want to remind everybody that you and Dan Strauss co-host the yard sale on Saturday morning, 7 to 9 o'clock. If you are unable to call to sell what you need to sell, we've set up an email address. And here's Dan Strauss to give you the email address. And if you email us your name and number in the description of the item you want to sell and how much it is, they'll do it for you Saturday morning. They'll read it and throw your number out there. Dan, give them that email address.
It is First Community Yard Sale.
Nope. Oh, yes, that's right. It is.
Yeah.
I'm losing my mind. Go ahead. It is.
First Community Yard Sale at yahoo.com.
There you go. Yeah. And if you forget it, it's on our Facebook page.
Yes.
Which is facebook.com/AM and the PM. And if you can't remember that, I don't know what to tell you. Mm-mm. You're in trouble. But that's a little thing we've added to make it easier for people who, for whatever reason, can't call on Saturday morning. Now, I also know there's another yard sale that I started. And I know that after 20 years of people being in the habit of tuning somewhere else and another phone number, I get that. Break that habit. Break it. Dump them. You don't need it. This yard sale is more fun. Not as rigid. The rules are looser. So we'd appreciate it if you would keep these guys company Saturday morning. I see the lines are full. And again, folks, before we start, when somebody hangs up, jump right in. If you have a problem, if you have a question for Scott Sherman, we're going to talk to Kevin because he's been holding the longest. Kevin, thank you for calling 590 The Fan and say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott.
Hi, Kevin.
AM and PM, Frank.
Thank you. Thank you. What's going on?
Well, I have a dilemma. My wife and I, we lease a house in St. Charles County. We've been there for about 2.5 years. Our original landlord was a old-timer. He was a great guy, but he passed away. And the family, the property has went into a trust with his family. His daughter is in charge of the trust. And we got a letter last week saying, hey, you know, we're going to raise your rent by $100, which is not a big deal. But me and the original gentleman had a verbal agreement. It was month to month. He let us move in for the first month's rent plus a little bit of a deposit. The daughter and the trust come back with now they want close to $2,000 in a security deposit. We've never missed a payment, ever.
Oh,
I have one maintenance issue with the garage door. The spring broke. And so we're not problem tenants, you know.
We're pretty stellar. How long have you lived there, Kevin?
2.5 years.
Yeah. What jerks, seriously, to do that, to ask you for
that. I agree.
Yeah.
But legally, what's my out?
Scott, I'm lost here.
Real estate, such a, and other situations like the sale of goods at over $500, these things have to be done in writing in order to be enforceable under what's called the statute of fraud. So your verbal oral contract with the previous owner, who's now deceased.
Well, it's on paper too. I mean, it was it was all verbalized and then put in paper for our original lease, which is a month-to-month lease. He agreed he wouldn't raise the rent for 2 years, which he didn't. Of course, he passed away before then.
So the question is,
it's month to month.
But can they get away with this? Now we want a deposit?
Yes, because it's month to month, and the term of that written agreement is only as good as that month and the character of the deceased landlord. There's a new sheriff in town, and unfortunately, that's the trustee of this trust. It's this guy's daughter, and she is exactly what you said, Frank.
Jerk.
She is a jerk.
And Kevin, let me ask you this, without being too personal, you raised it 100 after the increase. What's your payment every month?
$1,150.
Okay. Well, you know.
Have you tried to talk to her personally?
She gave us a deadline of the 15th to make a decision, and then if we choose not to, we have until the end of August to evacuate. So that's why I'm in a dilemma. Yeah. What do I do? I mean, if we're going to be forced to put down, it's not a money issue to me; it's a principle issue. I just don't think this is right.
How long do you think you're going to want to live there?
We're actually talking to her about possibly doing a lease purchase option.
That's what I was going to suggest, or this. You actually now don't have a long-term lease. If you're going to shell out that kind of deposit money, I'd ask for a guaranteed year I'm not going to be kicked out of there.
You would never make a written agreement.
A minimum year lease.
Month to month.
A minimum year lease with that $100 increase.
Right.
And if we choose to do a two-year, it's $100 for the first year, and then only $25 a second. I don't have a piece of paper.
You have every right to have some kind of guarantee that you're going to be able to live there for at least a year if you're going to cough up, that kind of deposit.
Well, it would be. She's wanting us to sign a minimum of a year lease at the $100 increase, which I don't mind. A lease is a lease. I have no problem finding a new lease. It's the fact now she wants, $2,000 out of pocket.
I don't understand why all of a sudden she thinks you guys might tear the place up. You've been there for 2.5 years. You've treated it. That doesn't make sense to me. Unless she, in a roundabout way, is trying to get rid of you.
She's almost the cliched sort of inheritor of real estate she had no ownership in. That she got from her dad.
She's trying to flaunt her power.
This is a power move. It's a D-bag move. But your negotiation position is very weak. Unless you are ready to get out of there, you have to make a decision here pretty quick. Now, if you don't leave by, quote, the end of August, you're going to have another couple months because she's going to have to go to court, file the thing, have you served. So you're not going to be on the street September 1st. But you're going to have to make a decision here. Are you going to commit to the terms of this unless you can negotiate a better deal? The only leverage you have is you're there. You see, if you leave, she's going to have to go market the place. She's going to have to paint it. She's going to have to put it on the... she's going to have to get somebody else to agree to her ridiculous terms.
Oh, and so, you painted it?
Oh, yeah. We made the house our home. I mean, the first thing we did when we moved in. Now it's colorful, which is not a big deal. I mean, I enjoy doing stuff like that, but...
But from her perspective, if I was advising her, and I'm not, I don't know who this is, I would say, look, you got great tenants. How many landlords have great tenants? 20%? And then how many landlords have great tenants that not only want to stay, but also want to maybe buy it, and you can make a huge profit off of it for something you got for nothing? She got it from no investment whatsoever. She inherited it from her dad. So my advice to her would be find out from these people if they would, put up a month's rent as a security deposit or dump that or just, let them stay there
and
raise
them.
The rent a little bit.
I think we
lost
him. Yeah, I think we just lost Kevin.
No, he's still listening.
But if Kevin's listening, here's what you do. Call her up on the phone or email it to her and say, hey, I'm not a huge fan of this $2,000. Is there anything you can do to waive that, or is that negotiable? See where she's at, because not going to hurt her feelings. She's already a jerk.
Yeah.
You're negotiating with a jerk, but she does have a weakness, and her weakness is her question mark tenant that's out there in the world could come in and move in. Well, here's your $2,000. Never pay a dime. Set up a meth lab.
I don't understand.
Run some kind of a gambling place.
Here's what I don't understand. Why this owner would risk losing a good tenant by pulling this bully move. Yeah. Because if he said, no, we're not paying that, we'll move. Now they got to find somebody else. Right. And she's an idiot.
She is stupid.
Yeah.
And she
in a tough spot. Because
she should. Here's what she should do. Bump it up $100 because that's market fair.
Right.
And let them stay there and for a year and put a provision in there that after that year they have to make a decision. Are they going to buy it or are they going to go back to month to month? And in that year, these people can then, Kevin and his family can decide or go out and get approved for a loan and either buy the place or make some plans to leave. This is the dream tenant for people that have real estate. And my dad is in this business and the people he rents to are usually horrible. They usually are great at the beginning. They give you the deposit and you either never see a dime or they tear the place up.
All right, one last thing and then we'll move on to somebody else here. Here's the other thing I see that could happen here. Her plan is we're going to squeeze $2,000 out of these people for damage deposit. They're only on a month to month. 2 months from now, we're going to ask them to leave. And we're not going to give them their deposit back. We're going to claim that they messed this up. Don't think people don't do that.
Oh, they do.
So that's why he needs to be guaranteed.
And don't ever sign a written lease that is less than 6 months. Ever. Yeah. What is the point of that? It's stupid. So a year, if you have a family like Kevin, and if you're a college student or you're transient or you're just in here for a short period of time, 6 months. Other than that, month to month. And right. That's it.
A line open because Kevin's connection got cut off. So 314-821-0590 or 855-282-TALK. Which is 855-282-8255. Cheryl, thank you for being patient. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman. Cheryl. Oh, Cheryl.
I hope we didn't lose everything.
Well, yeah, this phone.
Should we go to the next caller, which is Brian Cheryl?
Yeah, what is that about, Dan? Brian Cheryl. Is that somebody's name, Brian
you
Cheryl?
You know what? I don't know. Maybe this is... See if say right. Brian.
Well, now we got two.
Brian.
Now we got two lines open.
Yeah.
That's Brian. All
right. Brian, give me a minute to give the phone numbers out again because we don't know what just happened here, but we cleared two lines whether we meant to or not. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-TALK. Brian, say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hey, Scott, and amen again. Thanks.
Thank you.
This is a weird one that where I live, there's a pretty aggressive dog. A lot of people have covered for the dog. In other words, they're like, oh, yeah, we almost got bitten. We almost got attacked, or we got attacked, but nobody will call animal control. So, and that's fine that nobody calls animal control. My question is, after like 10 different people have 10 incidents with this, it's a pit bull, of course. Anyway, the point being, sorry.
Anyway.
Yeah, so the bottom line is, if something happens and a kid gets mauled by this pit bull, and it could happen, can a lawyer come back and say, hey, all of you people that refused to call animal control over the last, 3 years, but you're sitting there talking about the incidents that have happened to you, can they be held liable for not calling animal control or the police?
My answer is no, Scott.
The correct answer is no. You don't have a duty to protect the general population for something that's not your property. The good news for whoever gets bit, or at least the parents of who gets mauled, on my perspective, is it's negligence per se. So even if those people who then clam up, who knew this dog was dangerous, it's sort of this, it's like the Atticus Finch dog in
Kill Mockingbird.
Yeah, Kill Mockingbird, where he shoots the dog. You don't have to be Atticus Finch, but if you go coward on everything and you don't say it, it doesn't matter anymore. So one thing Missouri changed in about the last 10 years, if you own a dog, I don't care if it's a pit bull or a chihuahua, and it bites somebody. I don't care if it's the kindest, most gentle dog in the world, or it's trained to be a killer in dog fighting. You are responsible for the damage that that dog does to another person. So I don't wish that one of the kids in the neighborhood has their arm chewed up, but if they do, please, Brian, give that family my name. I'd be happy to sue everyone. Well, the owner of the dog.
Right.
But for the rest of the people in the neighborhood, it's a sin, but it's not a crime, nor is it a breach of their duty to the public.
Brian, do you have Scott's email address?
Yeah. No, I've talked to him about other stuff. So yeah, I've never had an incident with the dog, but it amazes me the last 10 or 12 people they all say, oh, we'll just let the next person call animal control. And I'm like, what are you guys waiting for? I mean, it's like when a kid gets killed, aren't you going to be a little guilty there? At least feel a little guilty.
Probably not. Most people aren't. Brian, thank you for the call.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it. The dog thing is a big issue. I have a quick question. If somebody comes to your house, knocks on your door, you open the door, your dog, who's in the house, runs up to the front door and bites the person at the front door. That you're in trouble. I mean,
it depends on
your property.
It depends on the nature of why they're there. If they're there to rob you,
no, just Jehovah's Witness or whatever.
Somebody that is not a trespasser,
right?
You are on the hook.
Yeah.
You are on the hook. Negligence per se. Now you mentioned the dogs. Remember the guy called about 3 weeks ago? He's going to take his dog to. It was the pastor. He wanted to take his dog to Europe.
Right.
And we had a question about that. I looked that up. It's not necessarily the country that you're looking to go into that's going to have a problem with that dog, the pit bull or the ones that look like pit bulls, especially in Europe. They have things called dog passports. It's the airline. The airlines have a lot of rules about what breeds of dogs they will transport. So unless you're taking a ship, most American carriers that fly overseas, especially to Europe, will not allow certain breeds of dogs to be transported on their airline.
That's a word that if you don't hear it correctly, I'm going to go take a ship instead of a plane. It sounds like something. Remember the
boat.
And we'll get right back to the calls. Remember the great Kmart campaign about shipping your pants? By mail?
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you doing? I just shipped my pants.
Yeah.
It sounds exactly like what it sounds like. Yeah. Well, you're in a good mood. What happened? Well, you know, I'm going to Arizona next week. I just shipped my pants.
My cousin went to California, and for real, he shipped the bed. He really did.
And if you say that fast, it sounds wrong.
That's right.
Let's go with who's been holding the longest. Yes, the winner is, by a few seconds, Randy. Randy, thank you for calling 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hey, thank you. I'm AM and PM.
Thank you, Randy. What do you got?
Workman's comp. Can you ask you a question about that?
Absolutely.
Yes. All right. My wife, she fell. She worked for, I guess I probably shouldn't say the name of her employer.
Probably not.
She's worked for them for 27 years, and she fell just by walking down the aisle. It's a retail store, that's all I'll say.
Okay.
She fell, and she landed very hard on her knee, and her knee is injured. And Workman's Comp is denying anything, stating that it's a ridiculous fall. Is what they're calling it. So I was just wondering if we had any grounds to maybe try to appeal it, or our opinion is the store just recarpeted. They did brand new carpeting about 3 months ago, and my wife believes that she tripped over the carpet. The carpet is a rough kind of a carpet, and there's been other customers that have complained and other employees that said they've almost fallen. But they're basically saying that the store basically said that they're, you know, it's a ridiculous fall. She did nothing, or they did nothing to cause it or to be liable for.
They actually used the word ridiculous?
Yep, that's the name that's what they called it. They said it's called a ridiculous fall. Basically, my wife just fell because
never
she
heard.
Fell.
Never heard.
Jerry Lewis movie.
Yeah, I've never heard of such
a ridiculous fall.
And this is the insurance company that says this? It's ridiculous?
Yeah, this is the Workman's Comp Company, insurance company.
Has anybody else fallen?
Not that we're aware of, no.
Right, well, that's...
My wife has stated that other customers have told her that they almost fell, and other employees have almost fallen.
Okay,
so
that's
we
better...
We even have it on video showing, you know, it's on the surveillance video showing her falling, but... They're basically saying, nope, it's not the company's responsibility.
All right, I'm going to turn it over to Scott. The bad news is you don't have any other people who have fallen. The good news is if you can get them to testify and do a deposition saying, yeah, I almost fell in there. If you get enough of those people, that's the good news. Scott, it's all yours.
Right.
Randy, I've been waiting for this call for almost 3 years since I started doing this segment. Your wife has a great work comp case, and I'm going to explain why. I don't care if it's a ridiculous fall, an imbecilic fall, a stupid fall. As long as it's a real fall and she was on the job at the time, it's compensable, meaning she's going to get paid. They have to pay her medical bills. They have to pay if she's off of work because of her injuries. And at the end of it, after she is as fixed as she can be, they're going to pay her for what's called permanent partial disability for the amount of injury she suffered, but they couldn't make her whole. Here's why.
Make her whole? That got to do with it.
What in the world?
Yeah, I told you I've been waiting 3 years for this.
Oh.
Hey, can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
And I think this is an important question. Randy, is your wife a drinker?
No, not at all.
Okay. And God, you know why.
Yeah, right.
Because an attorney would get her on the end and go, we understand, Mrs. Randy, that you drink a lot and you're often tipsy. And they'll say that's why she fell. But if she's not a drinker and they can't prove she is,
if she's not impaired. But here's the standard. Work comp is where you take negligence out of the equation when you come to compensating the worker. Your wife was on the job, right, Randy?
Correct.
Your wife wasn't drunk or high, right, Randy?
Correct.
Your wife fell, whether it was ridiculous or imbecilic or a genius fall or a Pratt fall. She actually fell, right?
Correct.
And she got hurt, yeah. Right?
Correct.
It's work comp. Now, they can say whatever they want.
And they will.
They are wrong. And I'll tell you this right now. This one really infuriates me because the job of a work comp insurance adjuster, and I know I've heard from insurance adjusters about my general statements about them, their job is to make sure that that employee is compensated by the letter of the law. And in every state, including Missouri or Illinois or whatever state she fell when she got hurt, which state was it, Randy?
Illinois.
You're entitled to getting your bills paid by your employer. You're entitled to get paid off for time off of work if it's medically necessary. And you're entitled to a disability award called permanent partial disability or PPD at the end of it when you are what's called MMI or at maximum medical improvement. And for that insurance person whose only job is to compensate people under the law of the state of Illinois to lie to Randy and his wife is a disgrace. Now, how long ago did this happen?
June 11th is when she fell.
June 11th. That's yep. Good because there's like a two-year statute.
She worked. She was able to work another week, but her leg and her knee started getting worse as the week progressed, and then she had to stop working. Her last day worked was June 18th.
Did they send her for medical care? Did the employer send her for medical care?
Yes.
And have they paid for it?
At this time, we're not sure. They basically sent her to, they first sent her to urgent care.
Right.
Urgent care sent her to an orthopedic doctor.
Randy, I'm not trying to be a wise guy. Here's what she needs. Because they have had their opportunity to be decent and they took the opportunity to lie with this ridiculous statement about the ridiculous fall, categorizing an at-work fall is irrelevant. If you wouldn't mind giving me an email, I'll send you to two different names of great work comp lawyers that practice in the state of Illinois. You kick the tires on them, but you need a lawyer. You are up against con artists posing as insurance company
adjusters.
Randy,
you have to get your wife back on her knees. You just do.
This
could ruin a marriage.
She's worked for them for 27 years, and what's even more ridiculous about it is so far they've only paid her 3 days of sick pay. That's it. That's all she's gotten so far. She's got short-term disability in the works, and she's applied for leave of absence. But, you know, that all takes time.
There's another hidden reason to file the claim, not only because it's the law and because you should do that and because they've lied, which is another thing. But if she doesn't, and they fire her because she's probably at will. I don't care if she worked there 27 minutes, 27 weeks, 27 years, or 27 decades. If they fire her and she has filed a work comp claim, what other reason could they possibly have besides retaliation for her doing
that? The great thing going for her is the fact that she's been there that long. That's
also
works in your favor.
Also the fact that it happened on the job, and has she ever filed work comp ever before? She didn't walk around tumbling every year, right? It's not her annual work comp fall or her pratfall. She's not Jerry Lewis or, you know, Chevy Chase or
Randy, do you have Scott's email address?
I do.
What is it?
Give it to me. Just give me one more time.
No, you said you have it. I want to hear it. What is it?
It's been a while since I listened, so I'm afraid I probably don't remember it.
Mm-hmm.
The credibility of his wife's case is falling.
Yeah. Give him your email address.
LawOfficeOfScottSherman@gmail.com.
Okay, awesome. I will definitely shoot you an email and give you my email. And we have actually made one phone call to a so-called workman's comp lawyer, and he is also basically flat out said we don't have a case. So that's why I thought I'd give you a shot.
Huh?
All right. Shoot him an email. Thank you, Randy. Good luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We'll take a break after we talk to Bob. Now, listen, folks, we got lines open now. Even if you have to wait through like 2 minutes of commercials, so what? 314-821-0590 or 855-282-TALK. Bob is up next. Bob, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott Sherman. How are you?
I'm great, Bob. How are you?
Good. I have a question about real estate, I guess. We have a family-owned, no, I shouldn't say family-owned, but a family cemetery that is owned by the township.
What does that mean, a family cemetery?
Well, there's other people buried in it, but it's mainly our family.
But your family doesn't own it?
No. Like ABC Township owns the plots, and then it's almost designated for out of the Smith family or something.
Right. Yeah, my great-grandfather deeded it to the township in like 1905.
Okay.
The road that goes to the cemetery, the maintenance on the road, mm-hmm. the township refuses to maintain the road for ingress and egress of the public. That's my question. And
when did they decide to refuse this?
Well, 15, 20 years ago, probably. It was always like a gentleman's agreement that they would do it. And recently they have refused, and we've even had some funerals that had really hard time getting in and out. So
your question is, can you force them to take care of that road?
Yes. I've been to the township and talked to them. And they claim they have no jurisdiction over the road commissioner since he is elected by the public.
I'm just grabbing this out of the air, but my guess is they don't have to, but here's Scott.
I would be curious to see what the deed looks like. And if the deed just granted in what's called fee simple to the township of Jones, this piece of property for the use of as a cemetery, and there's nothing about the road, then there's nothing that you can do to force them to do it. But you might try this approach. Hey, by the way, ABC Township, if somebody gets hurt walking to the funeral.
Or driving
on the road. Funeral, you will be liable for those damages. They break their ankle. They break their neck.
Car's damaged.
It runs somebody, flips over, runs somebody over. Ask the city of St. Louis about their sidewalks and their roads that they get sued for dozens of, not hundreds of times a year, and the hundreds, if not millions of dollars they've paid for the dangerous conditions. They're not immune from that. It's one of the things, there's a thing called sovereign immunity where the governmental entities, cities and townships are immune from certain things. One of the exceptions to that, and is this a Missouri thing?
Illinois,
same principle. There are exceptions to it. One of them is a car exception. So if like the mayor drives drunk and, you know, kills people, they can sue the city for that. And the other one is dangerous conditions, sidewalks, steps at courthouses, potholes, things that they are in charge of. They flat out refuse to do simple repairs here. They would be liable for all of those damages. They might want to change their tune about their position about the law. You might want to run that one by them. If you want a real estate person who deals with these kinds of municipalities, send me an email and I'll give you a couple names. I know one person in particular has done a great job on this side of the river, and I know a law firm over on the other side of the river that would probably enjoy sending their very smug city administrator a letter about their horrible roads. By the way, also take pictures of those roads in case.
I've got that.
Hey Bob,
yeah,
how many plots are in this cemetery? How many people are buried in there?
Oh, there's probably 50 people buried in there, uh-huh. And probably 50. It's like an acre and a half.
It's not small. Yeah.
Is there anybody famous in there? I mean, this is like 1910. Is there anybody that like founded a something over in Illinois?
No, there's some military, you know, Civil War people, and because I used to be in charge of putting the flags out, but no one famous I know of.
That's cool.
Well, the Liability Avenue, that's the way you got to go, and you got to wake them up in case they've never thought about somebody getting hurt coming in and out of there.
That'll
not just people attending the funeral. But, you know, cemeteries are nice places during around Halloween time for kids to go.
Used to be a good place to park and make out.
Yeah, that's right, too. Yeah. Imagine getting up a sprained tongue.
Yeah, my daughter got her neck got hurt because her boyfriend has an old truck, and they went there to make out, and the shocks were no good, and now her neck's hurt. So I'm kidding, of course. Do you have Scott's email address?
LawOfficeAtScottSherman@gmail.com.
Look at this guy. That's exactly right. That's right, Bob. Shoot him an email.
Thanks, Frank.
All right, thank you, Bob. I'm going to work one more in here before we take a break. And then while we take a break, if you're smart and you want to talk to Scott, you'll call 314-821-0590 or 855-282-TALK, which is 855-282-8255. Don, welcome to 590 The Fan, and say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman. You know I'm
I can tell. I can tell. What's your issue?
Well, it must be cemetery day.
Yeah, it must be.
My wife had passed away, Frank. I think we had talked about that some time ago. And after waiting all these months, the monument showed up today, and it looks nothing like the
like what you ordered.
The thing that I ordered. Yeah. It's very similar. The vases are black. We wanted a black monument. But the monument itself and the vase are it's kind of a in between. There's a lot of gray running around it, and it's the letters aren't white like we wanted.
Do you have any kind of pictures of what they said?
Yes,
they were gonna, you do.
Absolutely.
If you've got evidence to show that this is what you ordered, A, but B is what you got, this seems easy to me. They have to redo it, Scott.
With custom stuff, there is a level of subjective satisfaction that you would think otherwise might not apply. This happens when paintings are commissioned and they're going to do like a portrait of somebody, or when you order artwork done for printing. A lot of times there'll be a huge project, and with that will come an artwork sign-off. Now, did the monument service give you an artwork sign-off?
Absolutely.
But the artwork sign-off and the final product, in your estimation, looked different.
Absolutely.
I think you absolutely have the right to go back and say, try again. You screwed this one up.
This thing just came today, so you don't really know. I mean, they haven't refused to redo it yet, right?
No, I had left a voicemail. The office is closed, of course. But, it certainly isn't anything like, and I got the pictures. I'll send over to them. I'll take them to them. And
I think you're worried prematurely about something that's not going to happen. You're worried that you're stuck with this. I don't think that's going to be the case. No, once they see what you ordered and that they agreed upon with you, that's the way it should be and look, and then it isn't that way, I don't think you're going to have a problem here. I think you're anticipating an issue that's not going to happen.
And did you guys have like an unveiling or something where people say, okay, and here we go?
No. No.
How did you know that it was there? Did they notify you or just go by her gravesite and see there?
I go there every day.
Okay.
And,
I think that it's simple. The sign-off on the artwork is what you ordered. What they delivered is not what was represented in the artwork. Try again. And that's their problem. And if they give you some static...
What I'm wondering about.
Here's what you do. I'm going to give you about 24 hours to reconsider your position, or I'm going to have to do what I have to do, and then send me an email.
Yeah, I honestly, on this, Don, I think you are... I get it. You visit her every day. This is a big deal. This is important. I think you're emotionally you're upset because it wasn't right. But I also think that you're looking ahead at something that's not going to happen. I think when they see you, they messed up.
Especially
make it right.
In this business. Now, did you pick out the stone? Did you see the stone in person? Not this particular piece of stone.
Oh,
but
yes, absolutely.
Now, their only other argument that I could say, and I'm not taking up for them, is, you know, there are variations in the stone.
Yeah.
When you order this stone, you can't guarantee that this piece of stone mountain.
That's different.
But that's not
his problem.
You ordered. And so I think
if it's solid black, it's solid black.
That's right.
Don, if you don't mind, when did your wife pass away?
My wife passed away September 29th.
I'm sorry, of last year?
2017.
Yes.
And you visit her grave every day?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I find that interesting, admirable. I find it lots of things. And I don't... I do. I do. You must have had a... How long were you married?
Oh, we were only married 35 years.
Only? You must have really been crazy about her.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Good for you.
Oh, you know, Frank, I called pardon me.
Sorry.
I called when Chief Plummer was there with you.
Okay, I remember. Jack Plummer.
Yeah, Jack Plummer.
Yeah.
And a good friend of the family, and, you know, what he did with my wonderful son, Michael, and... Anyway,
how did she die? What?
She died here at home, right here.
Was it unexpected, or did she have cancer?
She had, I think Jack even mentioned it on your show. He had known she'd been very ill, and you know, that final week we put her on hospice.
Yeah.
And they told me that. At home, but you know, at home, that's where she wanted to be. She didn't want to go to a home anywhere. And the doctor said, well, you know, she might live for 3, 4, 5 months. It might be 3 years. And she lived about 3 days.
Wow. Well, I'm sorry. I it would be a wonderful world if every couple felt about each other the way you and she obviously did.
Oh, yeah.
Good for you. Get this thing the way you want it. Exactly the way you want it.
Well, exactly.
And they'll do it. They're going to do it. And if they don't, you're in the driver's seat. You're going to win. If you look, let us know if there's some kind of a hurdle and it doesn't turn out the way you want it to.
Oh, yeah.
Get a hold of Scott. You have Scott's email address?
Law Office of Scott Sherman at gmail.com.
That's exactly right.
I wanted to know, Scott, if you had ever heard from my friend about her broken toe in the hospital.
Ring a bell?
No.
You remember that?
Yeah, I do. No, I didn't. I never did.
Okay. Well,
I wanted
to. I'm going to try to contact her again and see if she's done anything. I'm afraid that she is kind of given up herself, you know.
Don, can I ask how old you are?
Oh, Frank, I'm your favorite age.
No man is my favorite age. My point is this, eventually go ahead.
I'm 68, Frank.
Ladies, and I'm going to tell you right now, Don, there are women listening right now who, when they
hear... You don't got to tell me, brother.
No, they come out of the woodwork.
I got to feed them off. Oh, I got to feed them off.
Well, now you're going to really have to, because when they hear about a guy like you who's that romantic that he visits his wife's grave every day, right now there are women out there going, I got to meet this guy. So
no, I feed them off with a bat every day, Frank.
Well, good for you.
He visits his wife every day, but he doesn't stay all day. He's got stuff to do.
Don,
it's not all day.
Hey, listen, good luck with this, and honest to goodness, I think you're worried about nothing. I really do. I hope so anyway. Thank you for the call.
Thank you guys so much. I love you all.
We love you too. But you know what? That's like a movie. Isn't that like Notebook or something? The guy goes every day.
It's better.
Talks
to his
wife. It is. Awesome. It's not just a movie. Got to do a little bit of business, and then we'll come back and we'll say goodbye and we'll wrap this up. That bit of business is Thompson Price. Kitchens, baths, home. The longest running advertiser on this show, and that deserves a round of applause, because it's very difficult to keep advertisers. It's difficult to get new advertisers, and you'll never understand, unless you're in this business, what a big deal that is, that somebody stays on board and stays with you for, in this case, like 23 years. And they do that for only one reason, because when you go there and you tell them your AM and the PM, they know it's working, and it must be working because they're very busy. They got a lot of jobs right now they're on, but they're not too busy to talk to you, and they're not too busy to come out and take a look at your kitchen or your bathroom and measure, and then go back and go to work and come back to you with what they think will be the perfect kitchen or bathroom. And if you let them do it, it will be. Because that's all they'll settle for, is perfection. They'll put you through a process, meaning a lot of questions. They want you to ask a lot of questions, and they have a lot of questions for you. Because without the answers to those questions, they can't build the perfect kitchen or bathroom for you. And over the years, kitchens change, and what's hot is no longer. I remember when butcher block was a big deal. Oh, we got butcher block countertop. And now I understand it's starting to come back again. After years and years of granite, they know all that stuff. And they know what's going to stand the test of time, and what's just a fad will be gone in a couple of years. Just do this. When you get ready to make the big decision about a kitchen or bathroom, before you decide who you're going to talk to and how many people you're going to talk to, just make sure one of them has the name Price in the name of the company, okay? Showroom is in De Pere, less than a quarter mile east of 270 on Manchester. ThompsonPrice.com.
Do you suffer from airport boredom, flight delay syndrome, or are you that person who does what they're supposed to do and checks in 2 hours early only to sit in some dirty chair for what seems like a lifetime? Suffer no more, because in Terminal 2, you have Wingtips, an upscale lounge with all-inclusive drinks, food, and ultimate comfort. If you have work to do, you'll feel like a CEO getting ready for your private plane. That's Wingtips Lounge, and mention you heard this on 590 and get a discount on a single day pass.
Business travelers in the St. Louis area, listen up. Stop complaining about the amount of time you must spend in the airport. Wingtips Lounge, located in Terminal 2, can remedy your entire travel experience. In lounge restrooms, speedy Wi-Fi, a complimentary offering of food and drinks, and a Fortune 100 style conference room can eliminate the words traveling gets old from your vocabulary. Come on in for a single visit or receive great discounts on personalized memberships. Your travel lounge awaits.
All right, we're out of time. It goes fast. It goes fast every Thursday. I'm just going to tell you now, next Thursday, Scott will be back again. And once again, I hope he'll be brought to you by Peroni's. I like to keep Peroni's on board for a long time, because I love speaking for and mentioning quality products, quality businesses, especially local family-owned businesses. And that's what Peroni's is. P-I-R-R-O-N-E-S. I spell it because if I were to try to go to Peroni's, pizza.com, I'd mess it up. I'd put, P-E-R-R. No, it's P-I-R-R-O-N-E-S, Peroni's.com. Don't forget about the buffet. It's an all-you-can-eat lunch buffet. And it's there for you at both locations, Florissant and St. Peter's, every Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And on Fridays, that means tomorrow, it includes their world-famous chicken wings. And they have a lot more than just pizza, by the way. It's all good stuff. Peroni's Pizza. Scott Sherman, any parting words? anything.
Don't let someone tell you that if you get hurt at work, that it has to be some negligence by the employer. That's the work comp tip of the day. You get hurt at work and you didn't do it on purpose and you weren't higher on drugs, they got to pay your bills and they got to pay you for what happened.
I've never heard the term ridiculous fall before. That just sounds like it's
how judgmental of them.
Yeah.
All right. It's terrible. That's a terrible answer. I hope it costs them a fortune.
Can we go out with Scott's theme song? I'd love to do that.
Not sure. No, we cannot.
We can't? All right, then we're not. Scott, thank you. We'll do this again
Frank,
next Thursday.
Thank you.
And thanks to all of you who called, to those of you who didn't get through. Well, there's always next week. The Playhouse is coming up right after the news with Tim Woodburn. And of course